Tell us about that meeting and about him at that
My
point.
Job when I became director of community services was to coordinate the community-related activities between the NAACP, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, and the Urban League, and facilitate in any way that I could the first march in Detroit with Dr. King. Provided me with an opportunity to talk with him and to talk about the civil rights activities. What kind of man was he? We were about the same age, truthfully, but I viewed him not just as a peer, but as a role model, and later as a mentor. I have never been exposed to an African-American with the kind of charisma that he exuded. Two men had that kind of charisma that I've been exposed to, Martin Luther King Jr. and Malcolm X. When Martin or Malcolm walk into a room, they tend to suck all of the air out, and the rest of us were just hanging on for whatever oxygen, whatever they would give us in terms of words of wisdom and encouragement. It's an experience that I will treasure forever and remember forever. Martin Luther King Jr. loved children, and I guess that really appealed to me also. I know that appealed to me also, but he had something else going for him. My mother made sure when I was growing up that I attended a Baptist church. Initially, I didn't particularly want to go to church. Then when my mother finally told me that all the girls are there, that was enough inducement for me. So at first I went to church and I would fish around and try to get any kind of date. And then gradually I started listening to the minister. And when I heard these words, God is love, not indifference, not hate. God is love. That stayed with me. Years later, meeting Martin Luther King Jr., who was talking about love and suffering being redemptive, all of his messages fit with my early Baptist church activities. So it was a natural fit for me.
You had one-on-one conversations
Yes.
with him. Was he warm and gentle?
Very warm. Very warm, very gentle, but also with a sense of humor.
About Malcolm X and his personality.
Martin was sophisticated. Let's face it, he was a child of privilege. Malcolm was streetwise. What I got in sophistication from Martin was complemented by what I got in street knowledge and concern about the poor, the uneducated, and unprivileged blacks from Malcolm X. Malcolm said, George, I don't own property now, and I don't intend to own property. If I own property, he said, that means that the person who has loaned me the money doesn't need to have some leverage over me. So therefore, I don't do those things. He said, I'm concerned about poor people. And I started observing the two men. Martin stayed in the best hotels or motels. Malcolm stayed with someone in the community. Both were effective. Malcolm tried to convince me to join his movement. He said, without young black intellectuals, I don't have a significant movement. He was absolutely correct. I told him that I was already committed to Martin. Truly, I didn't believe in violence, and I bought into suffering is redemptive and nonviolence. I bought into all of it. But I did tell him that maybe in another time, another life, I would have been one of his most ardent supporters. The conversation that we had was man-to-man in a way that I grew up through that conversation. He asked me, if you cannot support me, would you try not to do anything to hurt me? I said, yes. And I realized that I didn't have to subscribe to all of his principles, but I didn't have to dislike him either, nor do anything to try to destroy him. And at the end of that conversation, I said, now, do you promise not to do anything to hurt me? And he laughed. And he said, I'll think about it. And then finally said, yes.
Did he argue against the approach of Dr. Martin Luther King?
Yes.
And what was his argument?
Now, I did hear him speak several times. And we talked about it. He said, if a minister, a pastor, a shepherd, who has the responsibility of guarding his sheep, will not teach you to run from the wolf and will not teach you to fight the wolf, he's effectively killing you. Didn't have a good answer for that one.
That's a strong argument, wasn't it?
I wrestled with that for years.
But it didn't persuade you from changing?
No.
Because that seed was planted in
you
anyway.
The seed was already planted. Malcolm X moved me from being a Negro to a black man. Prior to his teachings, black was considered negative. Everything, almost everything in the literature, if it was black, it had the connotation of being evil, devious. Malcolm turned that around. He said, black is beautiful. The blacker the berry, the sweeter the juice, and on and on and on. The first time that I heard him speak to a large audience, Reverend Clegg's church in Detroit, he got up on the platform and he said, brothers and sisters, this is a meeting of black people. If there are any Negroes in here, would you please leave? None of us left. But that then was the transformation from being a Negro to being a black man. And I then was proud of saying that I'm black.
And Malcolm X did that.
Malcolm X did that.
He also promoted Black Panthers.
Most people don't understand or didn't bother to read the three components of black power. This is what we're really talking about. Black pride, black commerce, in other words, supporting black business, and black self-defense. And it was the last part of it that most people did not appreciate. When you mention the Panthers, the Black Panthers at the time was the most effective group of getting individuals who were doing drugs to stop doing drugs, because they said, if you're going to be involved in our movement, then you can't have that stuff in your system. You need a clear head. The Black Panthers started free breakfast and providing food for poor black children. Most people don't either remember or credit that. What indeed was the nail that shut tight the minds and the eyes and the ears of people who were looking at the Panthers was this. They said, if the police will not defend our children and our women and our defenseless males, we will. And it was the carrying of the guns and all of that symbolized in terms of self-defense that turned a lot of people off. The first two, in terms of pride, in terms of supporting black business and encouraging individuals to do those things, was very positive. Self-defense was a negative aspect with the violence potential.
Malcolm X, did he bring to the forefront the term African-American?
He was more concerned with black, but he was also concerned with Africans. He wanted us to understand, most of us that he was addressing, we indeed had a heritage that started in Africa. And so there was nothing wrong with being an African-American. The term black, however, was to combat the negative aspects of our identity. So he promoted blackness more than he did African-Americanness.